Haven't you always wondered what my life is like?
No.
That's true. You practically are in it.
Yeah, I'm in it too much, so I don't know. But some of our listeners might be curious on how your life goes.
A little bit. Well, today we're going to be talking about kind of what it looks like on a daily basis, or what like the schedules are and all that kind of stuff of the places we have worked. Give a little bit of an insight of that.
And also, we have a little abbreviation game that we're going to be playing at the end. So if you're a graduate or a student, be sure to guess along with me.
I was nice.
Laura was pretty nice. I asked for context for a couple, but if you're trying to play along, you can pause it after she says the abbreviation to see if you can guess before I do. Or if you want to race, let's see who gets it first.
Let us know if you beat Ken.
Let me know.
I'll be happy.
Let's do it.
Let's abbreviate into it.
Now you're just trying too hard.
You
got nothing.
Let's just live into it.
The PTA Podcast with your hosts, Ken.
And Laura. Thanks again for joining for another exciting episode. All right, so let's go ahead and start talking about our lives.
Wow, that you could have done better.
Oh, how?
Higher.
Oh, I don't want to go higher.
Higher.
Like life? Like, no, what do you mean it's, higher? It's like higher pitch?
Higher pitch, but it's not working.
No one wants break to do that.
Windows.
Yeah, glasses, mirrors.
A little bit of everything.
I don't want bad luck.
Anyways, it is Friday, so we're going to do a little bit more of a casual episode, I suppose. Kind of just talking about life as a PTA, kind of what we do in a day-to-day basis, people going onto the field, and say specifically outpatient, because that's what we're more familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like the start of our day, as our day progresses, and kind of go from there.
Yeah, I will say, like, it was really funny. I look back at how, like, it always starts at, like, definitely in a new job and just in general at a location, like, I always start, like, being fully, like, ready to go, hair nice, makeup done, and then the longer I'm there, the lazier I get.
That's true, because you just started your new job on Wednesday.
I did.
That's a weird little time loop, because we're recording this early, and Laura hasn't gone to her first day at work.
So I can't really tell you.
By the time people are listening to this,
I will have
Laura has started her new job.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm nervous. I can tell you that much right now. Like, I don't know. It's just weird going into it. We'll see what's expected.
I think the big thing about working in an outpatient clinic, and we keep hearing it time and time again, even our interview that we did with Rich, which people will be listening to this upcoming Tuesday, so make sure you tune into that.
It's so good,
but
guys.
But this reoccurring idea of burnout.
In outpatient, yeah.
In outpatients.
Yeah, I think, like, the turnover is absolutely insane when I hear about it, of just, like, it's the same thing. It's, like, the first year you're handling it, and then you're seeing so many patients that you're just, like, I'm over it. And I think both you and me have finally reached clinics that we both feel like are going to be able to sustain in the long term of things, where we're not burning out as easily. So, like, for example, at least the clinic I worked at, it was purely in an outpatient. Like, my schedule would always change. I wouldn't even check my schedule till the day I came in. Like, I would kind of get an idea of what it looked like the night before. However, though, things can move around so easily. Like, if our PT was seeing someone, they'll shove, you know, in the an eval wants to come in, they'll take that person off his schedule and shove them on mine, even if I was, like, completely packed. So it was definitely, like, I would never kind of commit to my schedule until, like, that morning, if anything. And even then, it changed by the afternoon.
Even though that's a thing, though, because, like, how do you do chart review? Like, I get,
like, I do outpatient right before I go into the room.
Yeah, because you don't know who you're going to see.
Mm-hmm. You can't really plan your day of, like, what exercises or anything like that you're going to do. And, like, that's going to be the interesting thing about going from where I was at location-wise to this new one, is because the way it's kind of set up is so differently. I'm curious on, like, what manual techniques do they do? Do they do a lot of manual techniques? Like, What does it look like? I don't know. It's definitely going to be very interesting.
So what you've known before to what you're going into is going to be a whole new world for you.
In a way, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So when it comes to the clinics that I've been at, I worked at the same one Laura was at. So we go in, we're trying to think of, okay, let me see who I have. You have ideas for certain patients, like, okay, let me do this exercise with this person. I think it'll benefit for this person. But then the thing is, like, you don't always see them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, well, let me try to catch them next time. Or maybe you'll try to give it to them still, but they're on someone else's schedule. So it's like, how much can you cross over into someone else's visit? Usually in outpatient clinics, if it's not a big practice, kind of everybody's working together. You can let them know, like, hey, I wanted to try this. Like, if you're okay with it, try it with them and see how they respond. But because the schedule shifts so much, it's hard to, like you said, plan. You kind of just have to go with the flow. So mm-hmm. kind of transitioning from that setting, seeing 25-ish patients a day to seeing 12 patients a day is a lot more manageable.
Yeah, and I would definitely say, like, I don't know if my notes will change too much. They might be a little bit more geared towards the person, but, like, honestly, an outpatient, your notes aren't that detailed, like, because of the way you usually flow sheets and the charts for their exercises are kind of within it. But we'll see. Again, each clinic is so different. But, like, on average, usually mine are pretty simple, I guess you could say. It's not too. I would say I'm not bad at charting. I would actually say I'm pretty decent. I just feel like I'm the type of person where they would be like, oh, write a 12-page paper, and I could write it in, like, three because I don't need to elaborate on things. I'm like, I don't like to fluff things.
Give it a little extra oomph.
No, that's the thing I think I hated about inpatient is, like, there was an extra oomph of fluff.
That you needed.
But, like,
if so we you go. You've been in outpatient. Mm-hmm. You've been in a SNF.
Yeah.
Did you do acute? No, you didn't do acute.
No, I never LTAC. Technically did acute. Well, like, I did an acute SNF.
Okay, so the two settings you've been in is outpatient and SNF.
Yeah, so, like, I did acute SNF, and then I've also, during my clinical rotations, which was, like, my last one, so it was, like, I was pretty much working. They had acute, long-term, and then permanent residence in that one. So, like, I got pretty much a mix of everything there.
So give me the differences.
Yeah.
Like, as far as your flow.
So
for the day.
For the day, like, in an outpatient, it was straight up, you know, you start work at whatever time, let's just say 8 a.m. You start work at 8 a.m. and then you're supposed to be done by, like, you know, 5 p.m., whatever type thing. With that, usually you get an hour lunch. Like, I don't know a place that doesn't close for an hour of lunch. Like, you're getting a full hour. You get that time. They might offset. Like, I've been in places where one person will take an hour from 11 to 12 and then the other person will take 12 to 1 so they can still be treating. Or I've also worked in clinics that everybody takes lunch at the same time, maybe besides one admin person. But you always get an hour. It's pretty much set. You have a block of each time patients are coming in. If patient doesn't come in, you're just kind of cleaning, working, charting. Helping out whatever you can. Sometimes there's not much to do and you might just be chilling or doing CEUs or something else. And then when it comes to, and then, like, you go home and you kind of repeat your day. When it comes to inpatient, it's very different because at least the facility I was at, they said show up between 6:30 and 9, no later than 9. You have a schedule of patients, you have a time limit that you need to see each patient for, and you pick the order you want to go in. So sometimes, like, I would know I had more difficult patients. As you get to learn them, you know, you have more difficult patients, and I would try to hit those more difficult patients up front because the last thing I want to do is deal with someone difficult at the end of the day, honestly. And that's just me. Plus, usually the person who refuses me so many times, like, I'm like, okay, I'll come back this time. Like, I almost know it, so I, like, know I might go to them and they're going to refuse me right then and there. So it's like, okay, go there. Go to the next room I actually knew I was probably going to be able to go to. You have to plan around meal times, too, if they've had breakfast, if they're going out for doctor's appointments, if they're having... Imaging. Yeah, imaging. If you they are having speech or OT, you have to coordinate with them. It's like, oh, hey, so-and-so, you see that? Like, the first thing you would do is, luckily, the person who controlled our schedules, like, we each, you come in, you have your name, you pull out your schedule, and she luckily would write down which, if they had speech, which speech therapist, because at the time we had two on site, which speech therapist they were working with, and then if they had OT, which OT or CODA they were working with. So you kind of knew, and you can be like, hey, what time are you seeing this person? And they'd be like, oh, I'm seeing them around this time. My goal's around this time. I'm like, okay. So I put them down there and be like, okay, I'll go see them this time. And so you have to kind of coordinate your day, but it can all change, because like if they go in to see the patient and then something happens where like the nurses need something that wasn't really scheduled, or family members are there, or, you know, they just don't want to do it right then and there, like that throws off their schedule, which can throw off your schedule. And then if you have downtime, so say like you have like 5 minutes that you're not like working, like you need to definitely be charting. You take your lunch. I will tell you, most of the time I had to chart during lunch to keep my productivity low, because out there they're very like inpatient, they're very high on your productivity. So for example, if you clock in, you clock out based off of the timesheet, they only really give you 5 minutes to chart for each person. And that is, this is where it boggles me. Like it drives me nuts, is because really they don't give you time to go in and get everything like walking around, going and finding the patient, because sometimes the patients aren't even in the room, going and finding the patient. None of that's accounted for, really. Like your productivity of like you getting, seeing the patients, getting your note, how long it takes you to note versus like your time and clock in and clock out, like has to be like above like a certain percentage. And I want to say like mine was at like 90%. Like you had to be 90% efficient. And that, so that gives you like no time to have errors of like where the patient is in a way. Like
no leeway, really.
Yeah. Or if you're documentation takes so much longer in inpatient that it just would. You would end up like having to document to keep that productivity low. You would have to document during your lunch. And your lunch can kind of be taken whenever you wanted to based off of your patients. Like, so there's a lot more flexibility. So like there was times where if I knew I wanted to get home earlier that day, I would start my day earlier. I'd come in earlier. Or if I'm like, I'm running late today, like it wasn't as big of a deal, which gave nice flexibility. But at the same time, you could lose out on hours if patients refuse you too many times. So say like a patient denies you 3 times, by law, you can't treat them. You document that they refuse, that you ask, da 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 da. And so we had to like, then you would just you lose a patient, and sometimes they would try to find someone to add on. Sometimes they were just like, well, sorry, like we have no one else for today that we can give you minutes for. And so like you would come in for an 8-hour day, but you would actually only get like, you know, a 7.5-hour day, or even less than 7-hour day. So like it could vary a little bit, and that just depends on the location you're at. But like, so that's the nice part, is like the flexibility of how you wanted your schedule, how you fit everything, how you see it. You're seeing a lot less patients. Like on average, I think I saw between like 5 and 8. If I had a bunch of short treatments, I saw 8. If I had longer treatments, I saw like 5. And usually that was like long treatments and some short treatments mixed into that. So like you're not seeing a lot of patients, which are nice. Documentation takes longer, which is a bummer. Finding the patients is sometimes a bummer. You get to see different things, work on different things. And then, of course, the flexibility of going in is different. But like for me, like, you have to definitely play nice with the nurse. There's a lot more politicking, I think, involved too. Like, of just, you know, you need to kiss up to this person in order to make sure that they're nice so you can get this person ready on time, or you can get help with this person if you need help moving them. Like, there's just a lot of that that was like annoying in inpatient, where in outpatient, it's just kind of like you and your PT. and there's not really too much. Like, the staff is usually smaller. You get to, you know, everybody a lot closer, depending, of course, on where you are. But most outpatient clinics are that way.
Well, just to give you a little bit of a breather,
because yeah.
you went on quite the soapbox just there. So
well, it was just more of like what's actually.
No, it was all great information. I'm just going to, just a lot of it was really relatable to what I did. So there's not much extra that I can add. Just to, without being redundant, repeating. But one thing I do want to mention was over the last couple days, we've done a couple different interviews. We met with people from across the country, which is absolutely amazing. But they're all in different settings. Home health, outpatient, travel PTs. And I think what we wanted to do more with this episode was kind of just bring to light the different settings, what they kind of entailed, and again, just kind of preach that maybe every setting is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. So we want to just kind of mention like, okay, well, when we were an outpatient, this is what our day looked like. When we were an inpatient, it's what our day looked like. And a lot of the guest speakers that we had recently, we're definitely going to be bringing them back on because there's still so many questions that we can pick their brain about. But as far as the outpatient, we already touched on that. The inpatient, like you said, it's a lot of kind of politicky just because communication is so much bigger when it comes to inpatient. You have the nurses, the docs, imaging team, just everything. So you have to be able to communicate with everybody, make sure you're on good graces with everybody because they can definitely mess up a treatment or two if they're not really going to let you see them. But going into inpatient, it was kind of chart review, looking at blood work, looking at lab values, making sure everybody's safe to be seen. After they're safe to be seen, you go talk to the nurses. Hey, I'm going to go see so-and-so. What's their day look like? Is imaging going to take them? Are they going to go in for surgery? Wound care, things like that. There's so much more that goes in play when it comes to inpatient that you have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is if you like variety, inpatient is better for you. Again, I'm going to bring up the episode that we had with Rich where when it comes to outpatient, you see a lot of the same people over and over again. Like you build a better connection because they're there for 6 to 8 weeks, more or less. Inpatient, depending if you're an LTEC or acute,
yeah,
or depending on
where
rehab,
you're at,
depending on what kind
exactly.
of setting you're in, you have a bigger variety of patients. Rehab, yeah, you'll probably see the same person for 2 hours a day until their length of stay. But acute, at least, I saw patients maybe 2-3 times, unless they were like long timers. They've been there for months. Then I'll see them multiple times, but it's usually about a week at the most. Coming out of surgery, kind of get them walking, and then they move them on to like a different placement. Whether
I think
home health or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, if you're definitely one who wants to like track a patient's progress throughout their whole entire like rehab and kind of towards the end, like acute therapy is probably not for you because you're really just getting them going on their therapy and then you're handing them off. So like that's something to keep in mind if you're doing acute. Like again, you know more of the day-to-day stuff, but like how did it go? Like you rounded in a hospital. How did like lunch goes? How did going into the rooms go? How did working with the staff go?
Most of it was fairly friendly. Sometimes it was just hard to kind of hunt down the nurse because you'd go in, you do your review. Once you go to the floor you're supposed to be on, you look at the board to see what nurse is in charge of your patient. And then the hunting begins, figuring out where the heck they are. So you can ask them if you can see the patient. Once they give you the okay, then you kind of go in whenever you want, as long as it doesn't conflict with anything else. If they have meds that they're going to take, you have to make sure you plan around their meds because sometimes when you go in, they're in so much pain, it's better to treat them after they receive their meds,
yeah.
especially for wound care. You plan that ahead of time.
I could see that being.
As far as the nursing staff, everybody was fairly friendly for the most part. There was a couple that it made it hard to ask them because they just seemed like they wanted nothing to do with you, but it is what it is. Lunch, you just kind of go whenever.
Now, do you also just show up whenever?
You also show up Yeah, within the window.
Yeah. Well, you were with anywhere your CI, like, so I'm assuming.
Yeah, so I kind of just felt like mimicked her schedule.
But yeah, but.
She told me, like, anywhere from a normal anyways would be, like, between 7 and 8 is when she would get there.
Okay.
But there's no, like, hard, like, you have to be here at 7 o'clock on the dot.
Yeah, which, like, if you have kids, too, like, and you have to get them off to school, like, that type of setting might be a great option for you because it's a little more flexible on when you actually arrive.
That is something that she mentioned, too, because she had three kids?
She had kids.
But when they had doctor's appointments, she would go in the morning, take care of her morning, like, people. She would go home, take her kids to the doctor, and then she would come back in the afternoon.
Yeah.
She would take, like, an extended lunch almost, but she would just clock out, go out, do her thing. As long as her patients that day were seen,
it was fine.
Then it's fine.
Yeah, and, like,
it doesn't have to be
seen straight. Within a respectable time. Like,
yeah, between, like, 7 and, not even, between 5 and, like, 6.
Yeah, well, so that's what I'm saying, like, is, like, dinner time. Like, it was the same thing. It was the same thing with us. Like, they said 6:30 just because of the fact that they don't want you waiting around too much. But, like, if you know you have quite a few early patients, like, you might be able to hit them out early and then take, if you have a doctor's appointment, go to the doctor's appointment and come back. For us, their big thing is, like, hey, we just don't want you doing it, like, after dinner, because kind of after dinner is where everything quiets down, shift changes, and all that kind of stuff came into play, too.
But I know, like, the ortho floor, like, the ortho, they got there, like, at 5 a.m. Like, they did their chart review from, like, 5 to 6, and at 6 a.m., they're waking up patients.
Dude, I've been like, no, go bye.
So it's like,
I'm not a morning person. I kind of
felt bad because everyone, like, knock on their door, and they're, like, they're not responding. So I walk in, like, hey, I'm from therapy. We're here to kind of go for a walk. And they're, like, half groggy, not even eating breakfast yet. So it was like, I felt kind of bad. But then again, it is what it is. Some people are sleeping in the afternoon, so it's like, it's not like if you wait, you're for sure going to catch them awake because they're just laying in bed. I mean, I'd probably sleep all day, too.
Well, yeah, there's not much to do sometimes in the hospital, and you're so, the whole point of you is, you're healing, and you heal faster when you're sleeping. Your body regenerates.
So you just want to sleep.
So you do. I can't tell you, after my surgeries, I slept a lot.
So, yeah, again, like, the main reason why we want to just kind of do this episode a little bit more casual and discuss different settings, listen in on the episode on the hippotherapy with Brooke, home health with Nick, and look forward to the new episode this upcoming Tuesday with Rich. We're going to be talking about travel PTAs. It's just so many settings out there. Finding your niche makes you happier, treats your patients better. It's there's so much.
Yeah.
I can't even think about a stop, really, or a ceiling.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is, like, we also wanted to talk about is because we talk about the field, we talk about it, but, like, what does your actual day look like? Like, it honestly is all going to depend on the clinic you're at. That's really what it's going to come down to. That can kind of, we can kind of give you a general idea of what each setting kind of looks like with those days, but it's all going to depend on the clinic you're at, because how long you stay with the patient, how long are you working one-on-one, whether or not they have technicians kind of overseeing, you know, the gym just watching or not, that can all vary. So it can, like, I'm going to a place where there's no technicians. So this is going to be a learning curve for me because most of the places I've worked with have had technicians. So it's going to be a little different. I look forward to it because I feel like I get to be more hands-on and involved throughout the whole entire thing. But we'll kind of see. I know that they like to have their PT see the patients like twice a week and you're seeing them once a week. So it's just going to, it's going to vary. It's going to be interesting. But it all just depends. And if you're really curious and you're a little hesitant on like whether or not you'll like how the place is like either ran or your options for it, the biggest thing I say is ask to shadow. Ask to go in. Like, I will tell you this, for this new job I took, I said I want to meet the PT because I wanted to see if like,
you guys like vibed.
Vibed, or like if, you know, right off the bat, you can kind of tell a little bit if you're just going to be like, yeah, we're not going to get along. And I wasn't about that. I don't want that because the relationship with the PT is very important to me. And so if I felt like it wasn't going, like we were just going to butt heads right away, I was like, yeah, I don't think this is going to be for me. But luckily that wasn't the case. So
I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm so nervous.
You'll do great. But by the time you're listening to this, Laura's already started.
I'll let you all know how it goes.
So to wrap this episode up, we're going to play a little game.
Mm-hmm.
Laura is going to ask me some common
abbreviations
that you catch in our field. So whether you're a student, these are things that you'll probably run into. Whether you're a graduate, see how many you know, because each clinic is kind of different. You'll see different abbreviations for a little bit of everything.
Do I want to start you off easy?
I guess it's up to you. So we're going to go, what, maybe 10-ish?
Or I could do one for every letter.
One for every letter? We're about to do 26.
Okay, fine. I'll just go 10-ish. I'm about to be here till... Okay, let's start you with an easy one. My goal
is 70%.
ADA.
ADA. Uh-huh. American Disability Act.
Correct. I'll give you this one. This is like a 2-for-1. It doesn't count towards the 10. ADL, because you will see this one in pretty much every single field.
Activities of daily living.
Correct. Okay, let's scroll down.
I feel like you're going to go through the entire alphabet.
No. Let's do COPD.
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Correctamundo.
Boom, boom, boom. DIP. Now it's all downhill from here. Distal interphalangeal joint, I guess.
I know. The fact that they leave out the J is so weird.
Yeah. Distal interphalangeal.
That one always, like, kind of, I'm like, wait.
The furthest part of your finger.
You have to, like, think about it. Okay, let's do... You won't get that one, I don't think.
Just try me. What is it?
GCS.
GCS. Can I get context?
Is it
like a patho? Is it like a...
More of like a test in a way.
Oh, it's... What is it? GCS?
GCS.
Glasgow Coma Scale.
Nice.
Hey. The hint definitely helped, though, on that one.
Yeah. Without a doubt. I was like, this is going to be tough. If you didn't give me the hint,
that one would have been hard.
Well, and the thing is, I wanted to say it was a scale, and I was like, well, no, I can't say that. And yeah, I was like, it's not a test. Glasgow Coma Scale. But it's a test. Okay. This one might be a little tricky for you.
There we go.
H-O-B.
H-O-B.
Mm-hmm.
H-O-B. Okay, any context?
A patient was positioned
at... Head of bed.
Mm-hmm. Head of bed.
Head of bed.
It's
I only knew that because of my inpatient days.
Yeah, exactly. And you see that in inpatient. But it's H-O-B, one of those I would have been like...
H-O-B, edge of bed. You'll see that very often too.
Yeah. If I would have saw H-O-B right now, just on, I was like, I don't know. Yeah. But then once you say like the contents a little bit, you're like, okay.
Definitely helps.
Okay, I got it. This one, if you don't get this one, I'm disappointed in you.
I'm going to miss it just on purpose now.
L-B-P.
Low back pain.
Yes. Another common one we see, MHP.
MHP?
Mm-hmm.
We see that commonly.
Mm-hmm.
MHP. I need context.
It's going to give it so away now.
MHP, hold on. Oh, wow. Moist impact. I'm over here thinking like pathos and stuff.
I know, that's why it's like, once I put this in a sentence, you were so going to like get it. I was like, you'll get it on your own.
I was thinking of like a pathology, or I was thinking like some sort of positioning thing.
NWB.
Non-weight bearing.
Correct, Mundo. This is one
I'm
that...
I'm doing much better than I thought. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Yeah. I've also been easy. Here's a hard one. NKA.
NKA.
It would be filled out on patient's medical history.
You're right. I shouldn't have said anything. NK.
If it makes you feel better, I would never have gotten this one.
You wouldn't get this one?
Probably not.
Part of their medical history.
Mm-hmm.
NKA.
Abbreviations aren't as common anymore, too. Like, it just varies on the person you work with. Like,
is there more context besides it's part of their medical history? NKA.
If I give you any more, you're going to guess it.
Non-ketoacidosis?
No. No known allergies.
No known allergies. I don't think I would have gotten that.
Yeah, but like the only other hint I could really give you. This
is definitely not one that I would come across very often.
I don't know if I've ever seen this.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
But it was an interesting one. Okay.
Fine, Laura, you got me. You got me.
I was like, those ones had some little difficult ones. PROM.
Passive range of motion.
PSIS.
Posterior sacroiliac. Whoa. Wow. What? Posterior superior iliac spine.
Yeah, I started scrolling on and then I had to go back because I was like, wait a second, not right.
One of these is, I'm saying something wrong.
It was funny because I was looking down at my list too, guys, and all of a sudden, like, he, you know, at first I, like, didn't register what he said, and then it started registering, and I was like, I looked up at him like, what the?
So I think let's
SAQ.
Let's do, like, two more.
Okay, SAQ.
Short arc quad.
Mm-hmm. SOB.
Shortness of breath.
TBI.
We can really go through these really fast. Traumatic brain injury.
TRF.
TRF?
Mm-hmm. I had to throw some curveballs in here.
Is this something that I would... Okay, let's go back to the... Is this something I would have come across?
Yeah, I think so.
TRF. Traditional range...
No.
Functionality.
No.
Context, please.
Use
it in a sentence, Laura.
Patient was able to TRF with sliding board.
Patient was able to TRF with sliding board? I have never... Oh, wow, I'm upset. I'm like, I have never seen this in my life. In my defense, I use like the brackets. Transfer?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. I use like little brackets. I don't think I've ever put TRF for anything.
I've seen people do it. I just write transfer because by the time I remember what
I'll do, like sit and then the beginning bracket and then end bracket stand. So like you transferred from a sit to stand.
Oh, yeah. I've done that.
I've done that.
I've done.
But yeah. I don't think I've ever done TRF.
Two, you know, the little. Okay.
I said two more. We're already like.
Yeah. Well, we're doing.
Go through pretty quick.
Two more. Yeah. Well, I kind of some of them I knew were easy. WBAT.
Weight bearing as tolerated.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I lied. We're going to do two more now. WBQC.
Like the Monday diet. Sorry, go ahead.
WBQC.
WBQC.
Mm-hmm.
Wide base quad cane.
Nice. I thought that one might get you. All right. Last one. VO.
VO.
VO. Mm-hmm.
Just VO.
Mm-hmm. And it could be both capitalized or it could be V dot O dot.
The heck?
You're welcome.
Vastus obliquus?
No.
All right, context, please.
Patient was given VO to perform sit to stand without upper extremity use. Sorry, I'm coming up with these examples.
Patient
on.
Was given a VO to. Transfer from a sit to stand without upper extremity.
Mm-hmm.
Given a VO. Is the second orthotic?
No.
Is it?
Do you just give up? You're going down the road.
Hold on. If anybody's listening and you have this, then bear with me. VO. Yeah, I got nothing.
Verbal order.
Verbal order? Really? You're going to do me like that on the last one?
Yep.
Not even like verbal cues.
No, verbal that order. Was above that. That's VC.
Yeah, I would have got VC. I would not get VO. Anyways, I think I got like, what, four wrong.
But you might see that when the wrong. Yeah, you well, and even then they weren't that wrong. They were just a little off. The VO you might see more in doctor's orders, actually, in an inpatient. They might write sense. VO.
But the reason we wanted to do this little game was because when you do go to different settings, you will see different abbreviations. So even if you're a graduate, you'll see things that weren't really in school. So just ask somebody what those abbreviations mean. If you're still a student, just try to be as well versed. Don't start writing the abbreviation until you know what the word is. That was the best advice I got while I was in school. Mm-hmm. Once you know what the word is, then you can start abbreviating it. And then that will really help in the long run.
Yeah, you definitely, like, I would Google. And if Google doesn't pull it up, honestly, then go double check. Or if Google gives you something that doesn't make sense. But a lot of abbreviations are being kind of, like, taken away. They've slowly disappeared. However, though, depending on what generation you're working with, you might see some that you didn't learn in school or things like, for example, the plus and minuses are a great one. That's an example of like things you might not see in school, but they still do in the field type thing. So just always ask. But hopefully this game gave you a little bit of content of like what it benefits and what it looks like in just our kind of life a little bit. But go ahead and don't forget to hit that follow, like, share, big share, share again.
Small share.
No, big share.
Just big shares.
Only big shares.
Yes, follow us on Instagram. Join the Discord. A lot of people that we interview are on there. So if you have any questions.
Or you want to join us.
Or just join us and talk to a lot of like-minded PTAs out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll catch you in the next one.
All right. Bye.
The information in this video or podcast is not intended nor implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained in this video or podcast is for general information purposes only and does not replace your professors or a consultation from your own doctor or healthcare professional.